So today I believe we're finally going to get to the shoes of peace. It's been about 3 weeks, but God knows what we need. And I don't, as I said earlier, the message, the series that we're in about the armor of God is a everyday message. Because we are in a battle every day. We like to wake up and think that sometimes we can just skip through the tulips, you know, or just have a wonderful, playful day, but it's never that way, actually, because the enemy's trying to cause us to fall every day, all day. So when Paul said that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. We've seen over the last few weeks, not the last few weeks, every day, every living day, we see this going on. From the least to the greatest, we see it going on, from the government to what Loretta, we just prayed for, her job situation, and civil authorities, and everywhere we see principalities and powers making their presence known in the lives of people. So our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against these powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Paul says, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So what do? Does Paul ever say we run away? No. He says you do all, and after you've done all, you stand there. And the Hebrew boys, when they were threatened to be thrown into the fire, they couldn't run away, but they just stood there and said, "O King, our God is well able to deliver us from your hand. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. We're just going to stand here. We're just, you know," and that's what they did. And what happened? But that God, who goes before us, wherever you're headed, God is already standing. Wherever you find yourself now, God was there before you got there. This is why the Christian can take courage, because God goes before us, and he is our stay in the times of trouble. And so as we look at the whole armor of God, let me just go back and read where Paul said, to therefore take up the whole armor of God, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having put on his truth, his righteousness, now we come to his peace. His peace. And we need these in order to do battle with our enemies. We need the truth, we need his righteousness, and we need his peace. Amen. As we were praying for, let me just read these scriptures while I got my hands in them, because they were coming to me. So before I do this, before I finish with Ephesians, let me say real quick, the scripture that was coming to me while we were praying over Loretta. Romans chapter 12, Paul, speaking to the saints, said to them, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, and honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. And in verse 14, he says this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And that what he said mirrors the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. He said this, you have heard it was said that you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. When Jesus says to do that, he's actually telling you how to enter into spiritual warfare. When you do good to those who hate you, you are doing a spiritual act. You're doing a spiritual act by which God moves in heavenly places. Because he's moved by goodness. He said, do good to those who curse you. And so we reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Peter chopped off the servants of the high priest's ear, Jesus turned to the man and did good to him by putting his ear back on. Hello. And none of those soldiers could ever say he was a bad man, because look at what he just did. That was a testimony. So he said, do good to those, bless those who persecute you, bless, he reiterates, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. You know, church, in times like these, when we were watching 2 weeks ago in Charlottesville, we were watching people repay evil for evil. And probably some of those people were Christians. Probably. I'm just saying, some of them were Christian, but they weren't living the Christ life. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. That's right. That's the prayer. Help us, Jesus. Help us. Because that's counterintuitive to the to human nature. But we have a new nature. We have a divine nature. We've been partakers of the divine nature. Amen. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And that doesn't mean judgment. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. And so along with all the prayers we prayed over Loretta, I'm praying for you, Loretta. This scripture right here. Father, help our sister. Help our sister to know what it means to overcome the evil with good. You who are good. Yeah. You who are the embodiment of goodness, the fruit of the Spirit which brings forth goodness. Lord, that goodness would flow out of her towards this young lady. Goodness and kindness and self-control and love and joy and peace. Not only Loretta, help all of us, Father. Help us to live out these words of our Savior, to live out the example of the Savior who's living within us. Help us to die to ourselves that the Christ within us might live to the glory of your name. Help us, Father. Jesus. Okay, let me get to this. Ephesians 6:15, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Bible scholars differ over exactly what Paul is referring to here. They differ because this verse does not speak of spreading the gospel. For Christians who are pictured here as standing, not advancing. Preaching the gospel is advancing the gospel, spreading the gospel. But Paul says, you're to stand, not advancing. Instead, this refers to a believer's stability or sure-footedness from the gospel, which gives him peace so he can stand in the battle, one commentary says. So when Paul says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, this commentary, the Bible Knowledge Commentary, says that he's speaking about the believer's stability or sure-footedness from the gospel, which gives him peace. I want to talk to you today about peace. Shoes of peace. Where you find yourself standing in the midst of all the turmoil and the trouble that's going on in our world. Okay? We're going to talk about that. We would all agree that fighting the battle on the outside requires peace on the inside. Okay? Because if you have fear on the inside, guess what happens when the battle comes? Feet don't fail me now. But no, he comes to give peace on the inside. I said last week that Breonna De Silva was down at the Charlottesville protest, and she posted on Facebook how she saw the violence going on down there, and it unsettled her so badly that she had to go for counseling. She was traumatized by what she had was engaged in Charlottesville. And so, when we look at peace, peace does not come from the internet. Peace doesn't come from the television, cell phone, the government, our stock portfolio, bank account. Peace doesn't come from our job or our family. Peace comes from one place. Comes from one place. God and God alone. Peace is like the truth and righteousness. Remember I said, Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. You understand that? Righteousness is not a concept. Righteousness is a person. We looked at 1 Corinthians 1 and 30 that says Jesus Christ was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Peace is not a concept. Peace is a person, I like to think. Okay? We'll get to that. Because in Judges chapter 6, where we get that compound name of God, or Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, comes out of Judges chapter 6, where Gideon had seen the angel of the Lord. And so Gideon said, alas, O Lord my God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And you know the Jews taught that if you ever saw God face to face, it was a death sentence. Okay? So Gideon's afraid. He says, oh, I've seen the Lord. And the Lord said to him, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. How many of you know that ministered peace to Gideon? Gideon was so worked up. And so Gideon built an altar to the Lord. It affected him so much that he built an altar to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. He didn't say peace was the absence of turmoil or conflict. He said, the Lord is peace. Yeah. So for me, peace is not a place. Peace is not something that some abstract concept. Peace to me is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the person of the Holy Spirit. God is peace. He's the God of peace. We'll look at that. In Romans 14:17, the peace is in the person of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Peace is a person. Peace is the person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:14 says, for he himself is our peace. Jesus Christ is our peace, who hath made both the one, Jew and Gentile, and broken down the middle wall of separation. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Every time Paul refers to the God of peace, he is pointing to the fact that through Christ's cross, God's wrath has been satisfied and that the fullness of God's peace is ours. That's the only way he's the God of peace to you and I. Hello. He's the God of peace because Jesus Christ bore his wrath that his peace might rest on us. And that's why Christians today the world over rejoice in the peace of God. Because the only reason why I'm at peace with God is because Jesus Christ bore my wrath and imputed his righteousness unto me. Therefore, I'm at peace with God. Therefore, God is the God of peace. Romans 15:13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." May he fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:33 says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." It's amazing how many times Paul mentioned the God of peace. He's a God of peace. Where do his children spend their time? Are we all anxious and locked up and worried? And if you're careful to notice, the Holy Spirit is always working his fruit in your life. He's working love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, temperance. He's doing all of this in our lives. Whenever I get worked up, I remember him just when I quit advertising my business, you know, because when you take business classes, they tell you your second expense, your second largest expense behind labor, behind your workforce is advertising. That's what they tell you. Your second largest expense. And so I'm used to, and my corporate office says, we want you to spend this amount, this percentage of your gross revenue on advertising. This is what you do. And that's the law of the land. And they give it out. And but I haven't brought this sermon yet about the name. I will, but it's something God's been doing. God's been doing something with my name. Yeah. He's been doing something with the name. And when he did with the name, it brought my advertising budget down to zero. So I didn't have to advertise anymore. I stopped advertising. Period. Cold. Just stopped everything. And I got more work not advertising than I could ever get advertising. Now, I said, when you do it God's way, if God tell you to do something, you said, but the world doesn't do it. What did God say? Do what God says. And so, but I remember when I first started it, and I get a little worried, and Father say, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And that would minister peace to me. Now I'm at peace. I'm at total peace. I trust. I said, Lord, I know, Lord, because I've been walking with you so long now. I know it's taken care of. It's peace. Romans 16:20, "And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. I've been amused by this scripture ever since the day I got saved. The first time I read it, it's like the God of peace. Isn't it interesting? Because it throws me back to Exodus, where the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, and they had been let go, and then Pharaoh came after them, and the angel of the Lord, if you'll remember, the angel of the Lord who was leading them in the way that they were to go, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord turned around, and when Pharaoh was coming, he went from before the children of Israel, and he went and stood behind them, and he was darkness to the enemy, but light for Israel. I said, my God, this is the God we serve. You see, that's the God of peace. Look, he's light to Israel, but he was darkness to the enemies. God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. You say, my God, he's the God of peace. He's going to crush somebody. Oh, yes. He's peace to us, but he's He's death on our enemies. The God of peace shall crush Satan under your feet shortly. This is the God of peace, the person of peace. Not only is the Lord peace himself, but the Lord gives peace. In Numbers chapter 6, you'll remember the blessing, the Aaronic blessing that God commanded. Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. The Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you peace. And remember, peace is not simply the absence of turmoil or strife. But he said, the Lord shall give you peace, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. The Lord is the giver of peace. Now, if I come to you and I give you a gift, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. Okay? Now, the Lord comes with gifts. He comes with peace. He's the giver of peace. But we have to, we're going to get to that in a second. We have to receive peace, and we have to walk in peace. Remember what we just read out of Romans, where Paul says, as much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men. In other words, he's saying, do your part. And everyone has a part, right? God always is faithful to do his part. Oh, my goodness. He's always faithful. So when anything goes wrong with me, I know it's on my end. No, I tripped up somehow. Father, help me. That's why I keep what Carl says. Help us, Lord. I said, yes, Lord. Help us, Father. We need your help. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You know, sometimes we worry about things that don't even know we're worrying about things. We need his peace. We need his rest. Amen. Psalm 55:18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. Hello. And every one of us has a battle against us. But he has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me, David said. Amen. And if not, one of my favorite, if not my favorite scripture, I can't say that, but Isaiah 26:3, my God, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. The Bible says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Jesus. When I wake up in the morning and the thought of God runs across my mind, I just give him thanks, because I know, Father, I know that is the person of the Holy Spirit in me, setting God, keeping God in the forefront of my mind. Come on, that's not me. That's God in me, keeping himself in the rightful place in my life, in my heart. That is him doing that. Now, when your mind is stayed on Jesus, when your mind is fixed and focused on him, he causes all to be at rest. He causes all to be at peace. I remember a young lady who used to be here. It was a long time ago, because she was in our youth group. Now she's married on and having a terrible time in a marriage and all kinds of craziness, and hit me up on Facebook. And one night, this was years ago, talking, and she says, do you have any help? Can you help me? And I emailed a prayer. I couldn't talk to her, but I emailed her a prayer, and I quoted this verse. And she responded back, oh, she said, you have no idea. Where did that verse come from? And she went on and on about that verse of scripture. She just kept going on and on and on about this verse. This is the verse when I went into the lady's house. I told you about I was cleaning carpet, and this was an Irish Catholic woman. And I went into the house, and she was going through all kinds of turmoil, and she had no peace. She was all, I mean, literally, I'm in the house. The woman's like, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I quoted Isaiah 26:3. And the woman says, what did you say? And I quoted it again. And she says, could you say it again? And I said, I quoted it a third time. And she said, oh, she says, woo. She says, could you say it again? I said, ma'am, do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible, ma'am? She went and got her Bible. We sat down in the living room, had to leave the carpet cleaning equipment alone, sat down in the living room, opened up the book. Says right here, God says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Huh? And then out of her mouth, she says, I want you to know, dear sir, the primary reason you come here was not to clean my carpet, but the primary reason you came to my house today was for me to hear that scripture that you just got. I said, what, God? I said, hello. God is on the scene. God doing his work. While we out doing our work, cleaning carpet, God's working. God's working. And this is why I say, in our job, where he put us, the gifting that he's given, he put us in that place so that we can use our gifts and he can pour himself through us. But that woman walked away from there that day, listen, tears streaming down her face, crying because her heart was full of the peace of God. That word broke down all the hindrances. Her husband was in and out of the hospital. It was all kinds of craziness going on up in that house. But the word of God, God gave her peace that day. Oh my goodness, never forget it. And it remains my meditation all the day long. Amen. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14 reads, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace never came the way it did when Christ Jesus was born. And the angels appeared and said, now on earth, peace. Now on earth, peace. Because Christ was the bringer of peace. John 14 goes on and says in verse 27, Jesus speaking to his disciples says, peace I leave with you. Now I challenge you. When you're going through and you find your mind locked up and worried about a circumstance, listen at what Jesus says. Now, Jesus cannot lie. Hello? I got one person in agreement. I said, Jesus cannot lie. Thank you. He said, peace I leave with you. Oh, my goodness. I said, wait a second. He done left peace here for me. Well, I think I'll just have some of it. Thank you very much. If he left here, if he left peace for me, if he says I leave peace here for you, I just think I'll have a little bit. Pull yourself up to the table, break out your fork and your knife, and have some of the peace that he left for you. John 14:27, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. You know how the world gives. Here, oh, no, here, oh, not too much. The world gives and limits what it gives. The world gives and takes it back. But he says, I give my peace, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. Peace comes when we leave it at Jesus' feet. Come on, when we look in him, when we gaze into his eyes, gaze into his face, and Father, I know, we know in the scriptures, as we read the scriptures, God had everything. Well, if his children came to him, just think about it. Think about all the saints. When they came to him, he had an answer. He had deliverance. He had what they needed. The peace that he leaves is sure and unlimited. And his peace, the peace that he gives to keep our hearts free of trouble and fear. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Where do you have peace? In him. Where do you have peace? In him in Christ, in Jesus our Lord. He went on to say, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. And so in this world, we have tribulation. But don't look for peace. Don't look for your peace in this world. Look for your peace in Jesus Christ. And so many times we go to the wrong place looking for peace. The peace is in him. And you remember what Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Else my servants would fight. And so the peace that we need, the peace that is ours in Christ, is not of this world. And that is why, I'll never forget, you know, God shines through you more than you could ever know. More than you could ever know. I remember being at work one day, this is over 20 years ago. I remember being at work one day, and I was had some time between jobs, so I started tearing apart a vacuum cleaner, cleaning it, and I was just taking care of equipment. One of the young ladies who worked there at the time, we were in there talking and so forth, and at one point she turned to me and she says, Pat, and I looked up, I said, yeah. She says, do you ever have a bad day? Now, I heard the question, but I heard what she was really saying. I heard, because, and I knew exactly what was, at that moment I knew, I says, oh, she don't know me. She's seeing the Jesus. That's what she sees. Listen, people see Christ in you. They see Christ. They don't see your every minute detail, your every failure. That's the accuser of the brethren who accuses you about every little trip up you make, everything. He's the one to come and say, see. Yeah, they see. No, people don't see that. They don't see that. Why? Because the light of Christ is shining so much more brightly. The light of Christ is shining so much more brightly. And I believe sometimes that God allows that to happen so that we could know that, listen, son, this thing is about me. This thing is not about you. Don't get it mixed up. Don't get confused. I'm greater. And I saved you so that I might glorify myself in and through your life. Hello. So where is our peace? Where do we find ourselves? We're in this fallen world, but the Prince of Peace is he who has in us has overcome the world. Therefore, his peace should reign and will reign in our hearts. Romans 1:7. I know we read the greetings of books and we just keep going on, but it's so pregnant with God's intent and his own doing in our lives when we read the first few verses of a book, and it'll read like this in Romans 1:7. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, pregnant with meaning all by itself, if we go into it. Grace to you and peace from God. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father. And what father doesn't want his children resting in peace? Resting in peace. It would bother me to no end if my children were running around all worried, pulling their hair out, just didn't know what to do, because life is so hard. Life is so difficult. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with this scripture makes you want to dance all day long. Because God has justified you and I. We walk around in this life justified all day long. Justified simply means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. God has justified you and I. How so? God took the wrath of, Jesus took the wrath of God. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. That's what the scripture says. And therefore he took the wrath and imputed his righteousness unto us. Now before God, we're blameless. We're blameless. And that produced conditions of peace between us and God. And that is so beautiful. And people see the outworkings of that peace in your life. People see the outworkings of justification in your life, and that's what causes them to say things like, there was another gentleman, an older guy I worked with, I'll never forget, in Alexandria, we were cleaning a commercial building, And the machine that we were working with, nothing was wrong with the machine, but there was just little pieces of lint off the buffer pad that were coming off as we were cleaning this red carpet. And I'll never forget this guy. He was buffing, and I was doing some other work. And when the lint flew off, he got so mad. He flew into a rage. He threw the machine. He just threw it. And this is the buffer that spins, and we're in a commercial. But he just let it go, and it's spinning around like that. He's mad. And he's cursing. And I'm thinking to myself, bro, you had a real rough day. That's not how to treat that machine. And so now what I don't know is he's watching me. While he's having this fit, he's watching me. And I'm just looking at him like, hey, you know what? Make sure that doesn't hit that piece of wood, because, you know, we're going to be in trouble in here if that hits. And so he finally left it alone. I just went and picked the machine up and took it, started, you know, clean. I've been cleaning longer than him. And I knew about the pieces of lint come off. It's tedious. It's a bother, but you got to pick it up because you're doing the job. You do your job and move on. 10 years later, I run into this guy. I don't know where, but somewhere out and about. And this is what he said. He says, Pat, you're the man who never gets upset. You're the man who never loses your cool. And then he recounted in the place. He says, when I was down there cussing and all that, he said, he noticed. That's my thing, is he noticed the character of Jesus Christ. I didn't notice it, but he noticed. And so God is shining his light and his life through us, even when we don't know it. Why? That's the fruit of justification. That's the fruit of being justified. Amen. Colossians 1 and 2. To the saints and faithful brethren who are at Colossae. All right, I'm about to let you out. Hold on. We have grace to you and peace from God our Father. I had to read another one. Colossians 1 and 19. Listen at this. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Oh, I could preach on that. I need to leave that alone, but my God. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him, listen, to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Listen, when Adam sinned against God, he threw off the cosmos. He threw off things. Do you think that God really made it so that asteroids would hit planets? You think that really he made it so that a comet, an asteroid would come, boom, they say about, you know, the whatever extinction, the dinosaurs or whatever. It could have really happened. I don't know. But we do know that asteroids do hit planetary bodies. But the Bible says that by Christ, by the blood of Christ's cross, Jesus Christ reconciled all things, whether they are things on earth or things in heaven. There are things that we don't even know about that the blood of Jesus Christ reconciled to God. But we give thanks for it. One day we may know. One day. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So when we find ourselves all confused and all flustered, stop, wait, pray, trust God, claim his peace. Amen. Because it is ours in Christ Jesus. Listen at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. Let me tell you what that means to me. That means I am to enjoy his peace every day, all every way. Let me read it to you again. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. It can't be put any clearer that God wants you and I to dwell in his peace every day, all day, in every way. His peace is my portion through Jesus Christ. So, real quickly, the truth about peace. Isaiah 32:16, then justice will dwell in the wilderness and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness will be peace. We talked about that, that peace flows out of righteousness. In other words, if you and I are in right relationship, there's going to be peace between one another. But if I do you wrong or you do me wrong, we're not going to be at peace with one another. You know, it's very simple how to fix all the ills of the world. It's just that the world doesn't want it fixed. Hello. Because God makes it very clear. You do me right, I do you right. What are we seeing in the world? We're seeing the darkness of men's hearts exposed. That's simply what it is. And that won't change until Jesus Christ comes, either in reality or in that person's heart, because he's the only one that can change the human heart, right? Psalms 37:37 reads, mark the blameless man, observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. Listen, mark the blameless man and observe the upright. Who are the upright? Those who do right by God and man. And when you do right by God and man, what are you going to have peace with God? What are you going to have with God and man but peace? We're going to be at peace with one another. So the only way to be at peace with God is to be blameless. How does anyone become blameless before God? Let me reiterate it again. Colossians 1:21. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Huh? That's what God did. That's what Jesus did. Without my asking him, without my crying out, I wasn't no one calling up to heaven to bring Jesus down. Amen. That's what Ephesians says. But God initiated the process. He has now reconciled in the body of his flesh to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. As I said earlier, that the iniquity of us all was laid upon him. So our responsibility regarding the peace of God. So we looked at how God gives peace. He gives peace. He gives peace. He is peace. If God gives peace, there's a duty. There's a duty man has to put on and maintain the peace of God. To put on and maintain the peace of God. Psalms 119:165 reads, great peace have those who love your law. Great peace have those who love your law. So as what is part of my responsibility to maintain the peace that God has given? To receive the peace that God has given? Well, I need to respect and love the law of God. The word of God, the book. Amen. Obedience to the commandment produces and maintains the peace of God. Let me say that again. Obedience to the commandment of God produces and maintains the peace of God. Right? Isaiah 48:18, the Lord said, oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river. Hello? God ties his peace directly to his command. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hello? Are we carnally minded or spiritually minded? Don't get mad with me. I didn't say it. Paul said it. Paul didn't say it. The Holy Spirit said it. Hello? Hello? Come on. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. All right. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He tied those two together. He says, if you live in peace, the God of love and peace will be with you. If that's true, then the opposite. Hello. I didn't say it. He said it, right? So he says, live in peace and the God of love and peace will be with you. So we need to, there's our part that we need to do. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. Philippians 4:6-7, we know it well. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. We know that, right? Okay? But he says, be anxious for nothing. The subject is the understood you. Be anxious for nothing. If that is then the case, then the opposite, if we turn it around, when we worry about everything, pray about nothing, complain and tell everyone about our problems, the peace of God is not ours. Hello? I didn't say it. I'm just reading what if we're to obey that command and receive all that and receive the peace of God, then when we disobey what Paul just said, then the peace of God's not going to be ours. Why? Simply because of disobedience. I've never seen a complaining Christian complaining about everything walking in the peace of God. Hello. I have never seen a person worrying about everything instead of praying about everything walking in the peace of God. I've never seen it to this day. Matter of fact, when I get around folk like that, I be doing one of these numbers. You know, I be like, hey, wait a second. Come on. Let's pray. I don't want to pray. I'm mad. Okay. Time to go. Because we all have a free will. Amen. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You let the peace of God rule in your heart. How's that peace work? We've heard people say before, I don't have peace about that. You know, you say, well, people can use that as a cop out, maybe. But if you don't have peace about something, you better stay still. You better really consider what it is about you're about to do. Amen. I told you in 2006, Daphne and I was looking at this house. And we pray about this house, and the Holy Ghost said, don't do that. And we didn't do it. Years later, ran into some Christians, and they were around the same time, this husband and wife. They said, Pastor, but we went and bought it, right? And we knew we shouldn't have. He said, but they just short sold our house. It's gone. It's gone. I said, I'm sorry. Everybody know Joyce Meyer. Joyce Meyer has some stories. She said, so one day they got in their mind, we want a dog. And she was teaching on prayer and waiting on God. And she says, now I'm going to tell you a story about waiting on God. Now, when you pray, don't go out and do something without having peace from the Lord to do it. She said, I just wanted a dog. She says, we went out and bought this dog, and this dog came into our house and tore the house up. And I don't mean just physically, but they hadn't thought through, you know, when you leave the house, you may have to put the dog in the kennel or whatever. They hadn't thought through, and so it totally wrecked their lives so that they had to actually get rid of the dog. And she was teaching on how, you know, I didn't have peace about that, but we just went on ahead and did it anyhow. And she was teaching on learn. Now, that doesn't mean for you who have a dog that you should, I'm talking about Joyce, okay? My point is simply this. If you don't have peace about something, and God, here Paul says, let the peace of God rule or act as umpire. You know what umpire is? You know when the ball comes across the plate? He says, strike. And everybody looked to him to see. Okay. They looked to the umpire because what the umpire says, that's the way it is. Okay. And so Paul said, let the peace of God act as the umpire of your heart. And so when you're about to go do something, check with the umpire. And if the umpire says, nope, then you just, okay. No, it ain't happening. Hello. It's not going to work out. So we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts, to which we are called into one body. Almost done here. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, Peter admonishing Timothy. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. You can pursue those things. You can pursue peace. Hello? You can pursue peace. You know, now we're all believers here, but you know, every now and again, you run into some unruly Christians. You know what I'm saying? And you had to work at being at peace with those people. And the Bible says, pursue peace. Because it's easy to go and just not be at peace with folk because so many people are out doing their own thing. And but Paul told Timothy, pursue peace. Hebrews 12:14, the writer says, pursue peace with all people. Sherry would know. Sherry knows. This is one gentleman in our neighborhood. He's not too peaceful with folk. And so yesterday I struck out the house for a walk. You know, I'm gonna go to my exit and get my walk on, you know, after my donuts, you remember. Yes, yes. And so I had the donuts, so you have to have the walk. Okay. And so I struck out the house and I saw this gentleman. He's walking on the other side of the road. And I'm the believer, you understand? And so soon as he saw me, he just looked up into the trees, just walking down, you know, looking at, y'all, you know how it is. But you know, but the Bible says, you know, as much as lies within you, you know. And so I'm the opposite type. I'm not the type, if you look up in the trees, I'm not the type to look up in my trees. If you look up in the trees, I'm bounding across the street. Hey! How you doing, man? See, that's me. That's the way I like it. Boy, you try and get away, I'm going to chase you down then. Don't look over there. So you know, he's looking up in the tree, walking his dog. I'm like, how can you see where you are? You're walking this way. You're looking up in the trees, but I know why you look up in the tree. So I said, hey, how you doing? You know, and I said it so loud in such a way, he had to turn around and go, hey, hey, how you doing? Yeah. And, but it says to pursue peace. Am I mad at you? I am not mad at you. Let me show you. Ah! Hey, 1 Peter 3. You for who he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's what we're called to do. Seek peace and pursue it. All right. Last scripture, 2 Peter 3:14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Peter talking about the end of the world coming upon us, that we are to be diligent to be found by him in peace. That's my prayer for you and I as we put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. We all have a part in living in the peace of God. He's done it all through Jesus Christ. Now we must do our own part to enjoy the peace that Christ died for us to have. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for your divine truth. We thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, Lord, who acts as the umpire of peace in our hearts. Father, I thank you for the blood of your cross that has reconciled us to God and put us at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may this word live and be fleshed out in our lives as the Holy Spirit works it in and through us all this week and beyond, we pray. Lord, that we might live, O God, according to your word for our good and for your ultimate glory, we pray in Jesus' holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.